Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Hitman, Hot Rod, WrestleMania 8. I remember the build to this. I remember the match. I'm a big fan of this one. But first, Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Doing good. WrestleMania week, man. Like, feels crazy. We're here, you know, post-Easter. Like, it's just, this is the week. I feel like we've got just seven straight days of wrestling happening right now. So we got that happening. I know we've been looking forward to it for a long time, but should be an exciting week next week, like all kinds of things happening. But before that, we got this match. Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm pumped. You ready to get into this one?
Yeah, let's jump right in, man.
All right. First of all, I want to ask you, any reason you picked this one? Is there, did this pop up on a list that you were looking at? I mean, I've always been a fan of this one, but is there any reason in particular you picked it?
Yeah, same here. I'm a fan of this one. And then also just kind of looking, I just kind of wanted to cover a Piper match. I'm not going to lie. I got some stuff to talk about during the match, just about KFAB and stuff like that. And so I feel like him kind of, you know, this is that era where that was happening, but we'll talk about it during the match. But yeah, just good. Why not, you know?
Love it. Okay. Let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right. So WrestleMania 8, you know, we've talked about this show before. We've covered a match on this show. I'll quickly go through it, but this is just such an interesting time because, you know, it's like we're on the tail end of Hulkamania as we would know it in WWF. So we still are kind of like all in on Hulk Hogan, but we feel like he might be on the tail end of his career and he's starting to do acting and Vince is starting to kind of do a youth movement and we got the steroid stuff happen. I mean, it's just a very interesting time. And, you know, we now know a lot of what was happening behind the scenes, but as a fan watching, it was just weird, right? It was just, you know, why is, you know, the Royal Rumble for the world title, but Hulk Hogan's in the main event, but the world title match is not the main event. And we kind of thought we were getting Hogan Flair, but we're not. And probably because we can't have a heel win at WrestleMania and close out the show and Hogan must pose to end the show. And it's just again, we got some decent stuff out of this, but this show to me has always been one of what could have been. And throw in also that, you know, we originally were going to get a Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels IC match to kick off the show too. So, you know, again, it's a lot of what could have been. I feel like this could have been a really epic WrestleMania, especially given that we're at the Hoosier Dome. So, you know, we did all these arena shows and now boom, 62,167 at the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis. So there was momentum and this felt like it should have been huge, especially the year before when they had to move it from an outdoor venue into an arena. But it just didn't deliver. So April 5th, 1992, Shawn Michaels defeats Tito Santana. Undertaker defeats Jake Roberts. Then our IC title match. We get a weird little six-man match of Bossman, Virgil, Slaughter, and Duggan defeating Mountie and Nasty Boys and Repo Man. Our world title match is then in here with Savage defeating Flair to win it. Then we go to Tatanka defeating the model Rick Martel in 4 minutes. Then a tag team championship match that's ended in a count out when the Natural Disasters defeat Money Inc. but don't get their title. Then we had one of the weirdest matches ever. And I remember watching this. Owen Hart and Skinner in a minute 36 Then we get the main event of Hulk Hogan and Sid. So you look at who was on the show, and gosh, if you could have just rearranged a few things, you know, the Sean Marty thing would have been a lot of fun. Taker Jake, cool, no problem there. Like, you know, we're babyface Undertaker, and we're kind of going with that. Hart Piper, who doesn't love that? Savage Flair, okay, you got Hogan, but there's just a lot of weird stuff in here. So again, not a great show, but I think if a few things would have aligned properly, it could have been. And, you know, one of the fantasy booking things for me would be, gosh, what if we got Hogan Flair and Flair just won? Flair, a heel champion. Because now what's interesting is we didn't get a heel champion closing WrestleMania until WrestleMania 16. So which means for another 9 years, you know, you got the babyface has to win the world championship, you know, has to be retained or won by the babyface. So really interesting. But we couldn't have Sid lose clean, so it ended in a DQ. And then we had a DQ match in the tag title or count out in the tag titles. So just not a great time, but I feel like there was a lot of fun stuff from a nostalgic standpoint. So the build for this match, I've always really enjoyed. I thought it was incredibly well done. How did we get to this match?
Yeah, a lot of moving pieces here. A big part of this was, and Brett has actually done some interviews on this match, which we'll talk about a little bit here. But part of it was it started with Brett losing the Intercontinental title to the Mountie. It was a kind of a weird storyline there. Brett not really. He just didn't have a lot of time with that belt. And so wasn't really able to kind of show what he was capable of, show what he could do. The more I was reading about this match, there was a lot of these guys kind of behind the scenes, like talking, working together, trying to figure it out. Because Brett really wasn't totally sold on this match from what he has said. I think some of these interviews with Brett lately, you kind of have to grain of salt some of these as well too, because he's, you know, other than hating Goldberg, I will forever, that's always going to be true for me. But some of this other stuff, you know, there was a lot of conversation about, you know, Piper, whether or not to turn heel, kind of how they should approach this match, just really interesting and kind of how they got into it. But you had, like I said, Brett losing the belt, the Intercontinental belt on this one to the Mountie. Piper was feuding. It was weird. He was part of the Virgil Million Dollar Man feud that was happening as well, too. He had his the year prior at WrestleMania 7, if you remember, he had his motorcycle accident as well, too. And so he was around, but still kind of dealing with that. He was feuding with Ric Flair as well, too. He actually, like, him winning the belt as well too, from the Mountie, actually at the Royal Rumble. And so kind of how they brought it back to Brett at that point, like, it was just, so Piper has the belt coming into this match. I'll talk a little bit more actually, like, during the match and kind of what was happening here, where obviously we're going to get some craziness during this match. But yeah, just a lot of moving pieces, a lot of, said, behind the scenes, just kind of things happening that we'll talk about during the match. Yeah,
cool. Well, I'm pumped to cover this one. WrestleMania 8, we're at the 42 minute mark, so 42 minutes of WrestleMania 8. I'm ready if you are, Jeff.
Yeah, let's do this, man.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, so we're in the ring. Piper takes the kilt off.
Yep.
Okay, so I remember this Brett. It was interesting. I always thought, you know, Brett, I loved that he was always the pink and black. Because there was, you know, obviously very strong branding and very easy to identify him in that. However, he did different variations of it. And this was maybe my favorite. It was the all pink. And I think he did this earlier in his career with Jim Neidhart. But as a singles wrestler, you didn't see him in the all pink very often. I just thought these tights were like a 10 out of 10. I absolutely loved them. Mm-hmm. And kind of an interesting look, too, because you don't see much of, gosh, I mean, I feel like you almost see none of what he's wearing anymore, of, you know, the long pants plus the top, and just a really good, unique look. And, you know, the branding of these guys in this era and, you know, in the 80s was so strong. And even mm-hmm. now it's like, you know, so often it's two guys in black tights, one guy in pants, you know, the distinctness of it, even someone, Bret Hart, it's his shoot name, you know, not even really much of a gimmick, but kind of the sharpshooter thing and excellence of execution and the pink and the hitman. And it was so well done. It wasn't over the top. It was his real name, but it just worked. And I'm not the biggest Bret Mark, but I think he fit an important role, and it was just a great career.
Yeah. Do you think, so you talked about at the top here, like kind of, I don't know how you could fully shuffle the card. Like you said, like the, you know, the Hogan kind of, you had to have that shot to end this one. And this match was, Bret is full baby face at this point, kind of singles competitor, like, you know, kind of really getting his footing there. It was actually, I'd say this was somewhat early in his singles run, but Piper on the flip side, like, you know, we talk about faces, heels and stuff like that. Like he's kind of, he's not full on heel in this, at this time, and kind of what he was doing. Like he was kind of that, really that in between at this point. And so granted, you know, his character in the past had always been a heel though. So it was very weird. You get that, the Savage Flair match in the middle of the card, you got this one early. Like, do you just, like, is there any way that, like, they could have shuffled this up to make it better? Like, should that Flair Savage, like, should this have been the second to last, and then that been the, you know, I just don't know how you fix it.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, by the way, you know, they're getting very slow start, kind of very technical, and obviously it'll get cooking. But remember, this is very rare because this was babyface, and that's, and they played that up, which was really interesting. So yes, I think virtually anything you did to shuffle around the guys on this show would have been better than what we got. I think what we got was almost the worst way to do this. Bret Piper absolutely worked, so that was good. Flair Savage worked too, so mm-hmm. it's like, it's not to say like, oh no, but a couple thoughts I have, and again, power of 2020 hindsight, I think if you had to do this show over again, you would have gotten Bret Flair for the title. So in other words, I would have just given Bret Hart the world title at this point and strapped the rocket ship on him. So, hey, we want a baby face to win. Make it Bret Hart. You know he's eventually going to be a world champion. We got there in October of this year. It wasn't that far off. So why yep. not just give him the big epic win? Now, you know, how we got there, you know, obviously we would have had to figure out a way, because you had Hogan in the mix, you had Flair in the mix, you had Taker in the mix. I mean, you know, all these guys, you know, so even if Flair won the Royal Rumble, but again, for the sake of this show, I think Bret defeating Flair, because part of the problem with Bret, and I think even like as a kid, I mean, remember, as I'm watching this, I'm 8 years old, as a kid, like I never completely believed and bought into Bret Hart as champion, because I read about it in the magazine, or I saw the highlights on Superstars. I never saw Bret Hart with the fireworks going off and, you know, maybe Ric Flair shaking his hand or Jack Tunney raising his hand or whatever, right? But I never saw that. So to me, Bret Hart was never, I don't want to say a true champion, but he was never like the guy to me ever at any point. Yeah. And then remember, he wins it like, you know, not in a major show. Then he loses to Yokozuna. And then Hulk Hogan comes out and makes the save because it's still the Hulk Hogan show. So Bret, and then finally, he wins at 10. But at 10, I was kind of burned out about Bret Hart, actually. And even then, it was kind of clunky because he lost to Owen Hart earlier in the night. So, right. You know, that right there. Okay, so then how do we shift things around? Well, what about Shawn Michaels defeating Roddy Piper for the Intercontinental title? You know, and anointing him. Of course, Roddy was so selective as to who he, you know, lost to. I don't know if he would have gone for that. I mean, Bret Hart, he did because of the family relationship and everything else. Okay, so Piper's going to kind of play heel here now, which is smart. He should be. But
it was, I appreciate him sitting on the rope, kind of inviting Bret back into the ring when Bret was on the outside. That, you know, little heel antics there, but not. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, and then to wrap up the to wrap up the fantasy booking of what we could have done with this show, if we know Hogan's going away, and we, you know, view kind of Hogan and Savage as the nostalgic act to a certain degree, why not have the Mega Powers reunite against Sid Justice and somebody else?
Yeah.
Okay, and pick a monster heel, pick anyone, you know, maybe you put a Jake Roberts in that role. Maybe there's someone, a free agent that still can go that you would have put him with. And I'm not suggesting this, but like a King Kong Bundy or something, someone from, you know, Hogan's past or whatever to come back. So that could have been interesting, or a heel taker, and a heel Sid against the Mega Powers. Now, let me go one step further. What happened at the end of this show? Well, the Ultimate Warrior came out, big surprise. So can you imagine, okay, you want to get crazy here. Bret Hart defeats Ric Flair earlier in the show, wins the title, okay, in that like we did with Savage. Main event, Mega Powers reuniting for the last time, and they get beaten down after they win or after they lose or whatever, and guess who comes out to make the save? The Ultimate Warrior. So now we close the show, Hogan, Savage, Warrior, which remember at this point, that was the Mount Rushmore in a lot of ways of the business, the three big baby faces, right? That's like the modern day Hogan, Rock, Austin in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania 30.
Yep.
So it would have been absolutely surreal to see that. So yeah, a lot of ways to book a better show for this. And again, in the stadium, I think it would have been really cool. So Bret's now bleeding.
Yep. I've got some backstory here. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a different type of like match. I mean, it's like a street fight.
Yeah, and so real stiff, just knocking Piper out of the ring right now. So, yeah, I got a few lines here. So there was actually a no blood rule at this time is what Bret said. And so he said there was a no blood rule, which was a good rule, and I'm glad they had the rule. But because of the no blood rule, every once in a while there are situations in wrestling where guys bump head or fall and hit their head on a post for real and things like that where people get busted open. So sometimes accidents happen. Roddy said to me, he goes, quote, "I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I think it would hit this thing out of the park if there was a little blood in this match," end quote. And so then Bret went on to say on this one, "I generally carried the razor in my mouth right here, and it would stay in there the whole match. It wouldn't move. I never cut myself, never even a cut on my gum or anything. It was the perfect place to carry it. By the time you tape a razor blade up, it's about the size of a chiclet with a little piece of razor on it. You just stick it right in there, and it stayed there the entire time, including interviews. It was very risky for me to take it upon myself to do that, but we wanted to draw attention to our match." And also along with this, and so he kind of talked about, so like they would get fined, and Bret's like kind of covered in blood at this point.
He's yeah, I mean, man, I'm like really, I am glued to this match. I mean, this is really, really good. And like just moving at really, a quick pace. Yeah. Piper still looks in great shape. Yeah, maybe he was a little winded, but he still looks awesome.
He's got the blood speckled all over his back. It's on the mat and stuff like that. And he said, how we got away with being fined. He said, Ric Flair and Macho were deciding to do the same thing after our match. They were on right after us. And so me and Roddy had the match. And of course, I was discreet. No one really saw what happened. And all of a sudden, I'm bleeding. And luckily for me, it wasn't a real gusher. Like the one with Roddy was like sometimes smeared blood on my face kind of thing. But it wasn't like Steve Austin's time where the blood was pouring everywhere. Yeah, but it was effective though. I remember when I came back to the dressing room, we had to pretend we were mad at each other. He was apologizing and telling me it was an accident, that he didn't mean to kick me because we had to put on a big charade so we didn't get fined. So then 10 minutes later, Ric Flair and Macho go out there and have a juice fest. Anyway, WWE fined them, both of them. I think got $5,000 each fine for having blood in the match. And I remember they said, what about Brett and Roddy? And they said, theirs was real, so we never got fined.
There you go.
Fun backstory,
man,
there.
Man, yeah. So like we got both guys on their knees punching each other. And I know that's like a spot that's done all the time now, but God, I feel like this might have been one of the first times that they did that. That's great.
It's at least cool that I can spot. Remember. Even it still works nowadays. Yeah, absolutely. So you got a little bit of blood, like Brett's blood on Piper, which is open there. You got a ref, big ref bump. Yep. Piper kind of throwing Brett into the ref. Yep.
Wow.
Just, man, rough this is, clothesline there. Yeah.
I mean, this is really, really, really good.
They, like you said, it started slow, but they are cooking now. Like they are.
I know I fantasy booked like something completely different. I mean, we did get, you know, this match and the Savage match were both really good, but you know, if you rearranged a little bit. All right, so Piper's got the bell, he's kind of being the heel. We'll see if he uses it or not.
We don't see that move anymore.
No, we don't. Be a good spot to do, but
to bring
is
back,
he gonna is he gonna actually use it or not? Because you know he's conflicted here. He respects Brett. Brett doesn't want him to use it. Did you ever go to the Hoosier Dome before it got knocked down?
I did not. No, by the time I got here, I did not. Obviously familiar with it because you know it's just one of those areas. Yeah, and so that was the year when I moved here is when it was torn down. And so okay. Yeah.
And where was that at? Was it near where the Lucas Oil is?
It was the convention center.
Oh, okay.
And so literally it was across the street from the Hoosier Dome. And so they converted the convention center into the Hoosier. So it was literally that block, that backside of the block, if you will. Yeah. And so,
all right, so Piper is finishing move. He's got him in the sleeper. Oh, Brett reverses it. 1, 2, 3. There you go.
The ref. Yep. Boom. Everybody on their feet, excited.
The only thing I didn't like about that, and I remember it even from before, was Piper wasn't selling it like he was trying to kick out. But I didn't love that.
And he popped up immediately after a slow three. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. That was the only thing. I didn't love the way they executed that. So Brett, you know, wiping blood away. Piper's going to give him the title. They're going to hug. Good moment. I mean, really, really good match. Better than I remembered, man. I thought this was fantastic.
Yeah.
A really, really good match. Now, you may say, oh, well, there's better Bret Hart matches out there, but Roddy Piper never lost. Almost never, ever. So, you know, the historical significance of this is pretty good. Hey, quick trivia question for you. What was the last time Roddy Piper was ever in a wrestling ring? Wrestling.
Oh, in an actual match? Oh, I have no idea.
So the last, like, big match he did was that Jericho versus Jimmy Snuka, Ricky Steamboat, Roddy Piper match. That was the one with Flair in their corner. Mickey Rourke was involved. Okay. So that was 2009. 2008, he did the Royal Rumble in Madison Square Garden, came out to a massive, massive pop. 2 years prior to that was when him and Flair were tagging together in 2006. Their last match of the tag team was against Edge and Randy Orton, which is kind of fun. But then the last time he ever wrestled, and this was, God, I gotta read this to you real quick before we move on. It was in 2011. It was a pro wrestling guerrilla battle royal. In it was Barry Orton, Bob Orton, Chavo Sr., Jimmy Hart was in it, Roddy Piper, Savio Vega, Val Venus, Shane Douglas, Shane Helms, Tatanka, Terry Funk, Barbarian, Warlord, Tito Santana, among others. But that must have really been something. But yeah, they were all in a battle royal together. So that's the story, man. This was fun. Let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right. So what'd you think?
Yeah, really good. Plain and simple. Really, like, I think you have both these guys really at the top of their game. Like, they just looked great. It's, I mean, it's a young Brett, which feels weird to say, but it was. And so just really looked good. And I think that, you know, there's some of these interviews out there, Brett, these guys really worked well together. And then this was actually, Brett was the first wrestler in WWFE and one of the few ever to pin Piper shoulders to the mat. And so it, like you said, it just didn't happen much. And so after this, Brett, like, I guess strapped the rocket at this point. So he beat Shawn Michaels with the belt, of course, in the first ever ladder match. He then dropped it to Davey Boy Smith, British Bulldog, in that pay-per-view SummerSlam 1992 at Wembley. So Brett really, you know, like I said, the rocket was strapped to him. Piper, on the flip side, though, you know, he's on Wrestle Challenge, Superstars. There were Piper Pits that were kind of aired as well, too. Or none of them aired, actually. He kind of just disappeared a little bit here until that SummerSlam. And then WrestleMania 10, he was the guest referee between Brett and Yoko as well. So kind of very different paths, you know, kind of what happened, but still really good. This year, WrestleMania 8 taking place, it was 1992. You had Brett at 5, Piper at 45. The newsletter on this, so the Savage Flair match, best match, but 231 votes. This one getting 52. You know, it feels a little skewed, but I get it as well, too.
Yeah.
Bret Hart pinned Roddy Piper to regain the Intercontinental title in 1350. Really good. They did an excellent job of getting their personalities over without turning either one. Hart bled a lot, which may have been accidental. So he even worked Meltzer on that one. Good job. But it did add a lot of drama. I guess everybody's working Meltzer nowadays.
Yeah, right.
But we'll talk about that. But it did add a lot of drama to the match. The match billed well before the ref bump. Piper then put on a sleeper. Hart kicked off the turnbuckle and fell backwards on a Piper for the pin. To Piper for the pin, 3.5 stars. So, Tom, what are you giving this one for your score?
So this may surprise you. I'm giving this an 8.5.
Okay.
I thought this was, I mean, it whatever you said, 12-13 minutes. So it was tight. It was quick. They worked a great pace. The blood was done well. It added to it. The fact Piper rarely lost, putting him over. I mean, the only thing that I thought didn't make this perfect is I just would have done a different finish, and either Piper taps out to the sharpshooter, or the pin's done a little bit better the way they did it. But otherwise, I thought this was excellent. I might have tried to make Bret Hart look a little stronger as opposed to the sheepish, oh, I guess I just won and snuck one out. And I think that was kind of the theme of this era, was they never went 100% with Brett. They went like 90%. I just feel like, you know, could Bret Hart have been the next Hulk Hogan? Yeah, I do. He wasn't Hulk Hogan. He was a different character. He wasn't as big physically. I get that. But could Bret Hart have had a, you know, 5-year massive, massive babyface run? Yes, but you had to do that. You had to go all in with him. But I, you know, they didn't. And I think that cost them a shitload of money by not making him the mega, mega, mega star. So I would have just gone with him. And so I think that was part of the theme of that, is they didn't. So anyways, I'm an 8.5. I thought this was fantastic. What about you?
Yeah, I'm a 7.5. I thought it was maybe an 8. I'll bump it up a little bit. I think that this was it was just really good. Like, the match overall, it had that slow burn. It had just kind of, you know, getting to you know, it really turned into something more than, you know, I thought it was going to be. And so it was just really good by the end of it. It was really impressive, just a real classic wrestling match, like, you know, nothing to complain about at all. So I'll bump it up a little bit, because like I said, it was just that's kind of slow burn was impressive. So yeah, want to remind everybody, of course, you know, WrestleMania season, the weather's getting warmer out there, all that good stuff. Manscaped, you know, been with us, god, it feels like years at this point. It has been years from the start, not quite the start, but practically. And so using Manscaped products, manscaped.com, of course, that promo code payoff giving you 20% off for free shipping, everything in the store, no matter what it is. Fill that cart up, add that promo code. Even if you sign up for the emails, we're giving you a bigger discount, you know, on what we're offering as well too. So payoff giving you 20% off on free shipping, and you'll be good to go. So Tom, with that, let's send them home happy.
Yeah, man, this was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed this one. Appreciate everybody listening. Enjoy WrestleMania if you haven't seen it yet. And we'll see y'all next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.